Social media has given birth to many trends, from viral makeup looks to crazy shopping hauls and insane challenges like the infamous tortilla slap. But it has also given rise to fast fashion, as these influencers need to rotate outfits quickly in order to keep up with their content. Fast fashion refers to clothes that are designed quickly and cheaply to keep up with trends, things like Zara, Forever 21, H&M, Shein, and others. And while historically fashion trends lasted about a decade, the cycle is now much faster, lasting only 3 to 5 months. I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be looking at the fast fashion industry and the true cost of this fast-paced life cycle and how it affects production to the environment. Fast fashion is quite distinct from other retailers, as these retailers design, produce, and deliver fashion goods to consumers in significantly less time given their agile supply chains. Fast fashion retailers like Zara and H&M are generating successful financial results when compared to non-fast fashion retailers, who are only generating 7% profit margins. Fast fashion retailers are at 16% profit margins, more than double that of comparable stores. So how do they achieve such high margins? Well, fast fashion aims to reduce the processes involved in the buying cycle and lead times for getting new products into stores to satisfy customer demand at its peak. Because the markets are changing rapidly, the success or failure of these stores is largely determined by the organization's flexibility and responsiveness. First, the agents for fast fashion companies are always scouting out new fashion trends at clubs and social scenes. When they find something they like, they quickly sketch it, send it out to design studios, and garments can be designed and sent out to stores in a matter of 4 to 6 weeks. This fast turnaround is achieved in several ways. Companies like Zara buys large quantities of only a few types of fabrics, just 4 or 5 different types, but they can change it year to year. They do all the garment design and cutting and dyeing in-house so that the process is condensed. Each design is made in a short production run in order to create scarcity of the given design and generates a sense of urgency to buy while supplies last. This way, it can also manage excess inventory. Shein is also a juggernaut in the fast fashion space. It doesn't work with very large factories, but instead relies on small to mid-sized workshops that pick up orders daily. It is very much like an Uber system, where new orders are always coming into the factory's owner's phones, and when they receive an order, it is incredibly efficient, with over 6,000 clothing factories. Styles are optimized with Shein's internal software, which connects to its entire business from design to delivery. And it contains very simple design specifications that help manufacturers execute new orders quickly. A big brand might need a very high-end designer or a designer with top technology, and even then may only be able to produce 20 to 30 styles a month. But Shein does not have high design requirements, so a typical university student could get started designing quickly. And because of the variety of styles that Shein demands, suppliers that already have a range of production capabilities and function more like a factory have an easier time working with the company. This agile business model has allowed the company to persevere through a number of challenges, from worsening tensions between the US and China, global supply chain slowdowns, and the ongoing pandemic. Whereas Zara, on the other hand, typically asks manufacturers to turn around minimum orders of 2,000 items in 30 days. Shein asks for as few as 100 products in as little as 10 days. In both cases, factories need to be highly nimble in order to compete in the fast fashion space and satisfy the short trend cycles. So now let's bring in Dr. Patsy Perry, author, researcher, and fashionista. So Patsy, fast fashion has always been a trend now with the popularity of Instagram and TikTok. Do you see this trend going anywhere, or will the industry just continue down this path because it is so convenient and affordable?
Yeah, fast fashion has really influenced the entire fashion industry, really, in terms of speeding up product life cycles, speeding up the rate of change and the number of trends that we're seeing and that we're buying into, whether that's kind of low market level luxury designer. I think everyone really is now producing too much, which is leading to overconsumption and not keeping things for very long.
The cost and the price is a major part of a consumer's decision when they evaluate what to buy. How can a consumer be attracted to a, say, durable piece of clothing that costs 5 times more than a fast fashion piece that is often an easy impulse buy?
It's really hard, isn't it? Because we often don't see the extra value of something that's more expensive. And often now we're seeing some of the fast fashion retailers offering and brands offering some kind of sustainable collections and sustainable capsule ranges. So then when you see something that's 5 times more expensive, you don't know, what that extra is paying for. And obviously for a lot of people struggling with cost of living increases and so on, there's only so much that you can stretch to purchase. And I think being offered low price products, it's irresistible, isn't it? It's really hard to kind of say, no, I'm not going to buy that. I'm going to save up and buy fewer better things. It's just so easy to get into that cycle of buying lots of cheaper items. And often, not everyone's able to save up and purchase that one thing. It's not always accessible to people, is it?
And what are the margins like for fast fashion companies versus traditional fashion companies? Are they more profitable these days?
To be honest, I couldn't comment on the margins, but I think it's really a case of just selling more stuff and making your revenue based on the volume. So you're selling a lot more items at lower prices overall, but the volume of things that you sell mean that you're making that margin that way. And often they're made of cheap fabrics, cheaply manufactured. And that sort of quality, durability, longevity is not built into them. So although they appear to be quite cheap, if we look more carefully at them, sometimes you think that the fabric construction is not so elegant and so on. So they really are made for pennies.
With the economy the way it is and people starting to save and consume less, people are going to be spending less on impulse buys and discretionary items like clothing. What companies do you think will be the most impacted, fast fashion or traditional fashion companies?
I think that when the purse strings are being tightened, we can't always afford to spend on those kind of mid-market companies. So it may be that actually all you can afford is to replace clothes for yourself or the kids or whatever by buying from those fast fashion companies. But I think people will be a little more discerning and they will be looking for things that are going to last because they can't afford to buy something just to wear once for a night out, but they're going to want things that they can maybe style in different ways and that is going to work for day wear, going out and so on. And they might be a little bit more discerning about the quality of things that are going to wash well and kids are not going to sort of grow out of them or destroy them too quickly.
Thank you so much, Patsy. Patsy will be joining us after the break, but when we come back, while fast fashion is cheap for the consumer, the long-term cost on society can be very expensive. We'll explain more after the break.
Naime, Bosna se prvi put pominje sredinom 10. vijeka kao jedna oblast u sastavu Srbije.
1991. godinu načela raspadaca ogromna strana.
Se čuje vazdušne linije nije puno udaljeno. Počelo se dešavati zločini.
Нужно было создать прецедент. Убийство мусульман.
Соединенные Штаты разработали и организовали секретную программу снабжения Боснии и Герцеговины оружием, которое позднее стало известно как «Черные полеты». Этими же рейсами в Тузу и Высоко доставлялись маджахеты.
По ночи долазили люди, и плачали из них куча.
Прено се кренуло у позиви на линч. srpskog naroda, srpskih građana.
Allahu akbar!
Da to sve snosi međunarodna zajednica, odnosno snose oni koji danas kreiraju zvaničnu politiku muslimana iz Sarajeva, to su ambasade Engleske, Amerike, Bosne i Hercegovine i Njemačke. Mislim da su to ključni igrači bili i za izazivanje rata i raspada Jugoslavije, za izazivanje rata, novčane pomoći, slanje naoružanja, vojne opreme.
Generations, people have been coming here to Kislovodsk to get healthy, taking advantage of the mineral waters and the fresh air. Today, the city is at the forefront of cutting-edge research, helping athletes, not by utilizing that air, but by depriving them from it. Today, we are speaking to the head of the Innovation Center of the Russian Olympic Committee, world-renowned trainer, Alexander Grushin.
Отверженных. Нам уже от нее не деться. Ветер степной пахнет смертью, мятой и медом. Мы пьем за любовь, за правду, за наше счастливое детство. Пьем, не чокаясь, из гильз от гранатомета.
Вся русская литература – это война. Поэзия там, где больно.
Победим, у нас нет других вариантов. Иначе эта вся свора размотает нас на тряпки. Так что нам придется побеждать.
Welcome back. We are discussing the cost of fashion. And while fast fashion is cheap for the consumer, the long-term cost on the society can be very expensive. Something as basic as buying a t-shirt can directly impact someone halfway around the world, and the chemicals that are used to dye the fabric polluting the waterways. The UN Environment Program claimed that the fashion industry is the second highest for water consumption and makes up approximately 8 to 10% of global carbon emissions. Clothing production is already at an all-time high, with brands like Zara producing over 840 million garments a year. And with Zara, you know that if you don't buy it right then and there, within 11 days, the entire stock will change. And because the prices are so low, you'll probably end up buying it there and have immediate gratification. TikTok has played a large part in these companies' success, where haul videos, which depict people showing off new pieces, are immensely popular. These trendy pieces will likely fall out of style quickly as fast fashion companies sacrifice quality for inventory. This means that these items will unlikely survive more than 10 wash cycles before falling apart. On top of that, most cheap clothes are made of synthetic fibers like nylon or polyester that are created from oil or coal. They won't decompose for hundreds of years, and when washed, they release tiny microscopic pieces of plastic which find their ways into the oceans and even our bodies. On average, a piece is worn 7 times before being discarded or given away to charities that won't take them anymore. This also means that the majority of these clothes end up in landfills. Currently, approximately 85% of textiles are discarded in the US. Only about 13% of clothing and shoes are recycled. And globally, we are expected to discard more than 134 million tons of textiles annually by 2030. That means that $100 billion worth of materials is lost every year, as less than 1% of textiles produced for clothing is recycled into new clothing. Fast fashion has also caused ethical problems in developing nations like Ghana. The U.S. textile waste has created a salvage market in recipient countries like Ghana, where they can repurpose clothing. However, much of fast fashion is so cheap and of poor quality that it simply cannot be reused. This ends up polluting Ghanaian marketplaces, beaches, and dumps. And in order to make clothing as cheap as possible, the fashion industry harnessed the cheap labor in countries such as Cambodia, Myanmar, Vietnam, and Bangladesh. And in fact, Bangladesh's minimum wage is one of the world's very lowest, as wages continue to rise in China. So it has increasingly become an attractive place to make clothes. It is now the second largest garment exporter in the world. And today, 97% of apparel and footwear items are made overseas where cheap labor is exploited. And for more, let's bring in again Dr. Patsy Perry, author, researcher, and fashionista. So Patsy, what is the average wage for sewers and garment manufacturer workers in these countries?
I think you can find something like a proportion of, how much money does, say, Mr. Zara make per second compared to how much these workers make in a year. I'll maybe have a hunt around and find something for you, but I don't know that there's a global average because it depends on the country, but it's very little.
Now, it looks like a lot of clothing manufacturing has moved out of China. So what is China replacing its capabilities with?
So China's economy is developing. It's evolving into more of a knowledge-based economy, and they don't want to be making cheap, dirty, fast fashion anymore. You know, that's maybe what they started out as, but now there's the workers are more skilled. The younger generation don't want to work in those factories sat behind a sewing machine all day. They want to be working in a nice head office or electronics or something like that. So those industries will then move on to the next cheapest place. Or they'll move kind of inland, but then, you know, China's such a big country, if your factory is quite inland, it might take a long time to get the product out to the port or the airport or whatever. So it's not always makes sense to kind of move there rather than move to another low-cost labor country. And they don't want to be bringing all that pollution to their country, making stuff either for domestic consumption or for export. Because really we've kind of externalized all of that pollution to other countries that produce the garments for us.
And does fast fashion production lend itself to other industries like the toy industry? Are we going to see cheaply manufactured products like toys and plastic goods proliferating?
I guess we would have done, yeah, but I think the tide is turning and, you know, people are seeing the negative impacts of too much plastic and, you know, we don't want lots of cheap throwaway plastic things. So many countries we've seen, you know, plastic bags, carry bags going out of fashion, plastic straws, plastic disposable cutlery and so on, because it all finds its way into the environment, the waterways and so on. And it's never good, is it? So I think that the tide will turn. And also if you're buying things for your kids, you don't want to, you know, buy too cheap because you don't want it to break and, you know, harm your child or whatever. So I think you might be more conscious if you're buying things for the children, that you do want to have that certain level of quality, durability and safety is really important in terms of how it's made and what it's made from.
And now, how should consumers think about the true cost of fast fashion, given all the widespread environmental and social impacts?
I think we really need to question, you know, why things are so cheap and, you know, what the reasons are for it being so cheap. And it's normally because somebody or something is paying the cost for that, whether it's a worker in a factory, in a lower labour cost country, whether it's the environment being polluted, because there's no way to really make things well and make them at such a low cost. So I think we just need to, if we're able to, just be a little bit more discerning and try to buy fewer better things, really be a bit more conscious about what we're buying and making sure that we're kind of buying it not just for that one wear. You know, the best way really is to kind of think about what you already have, try to make more of what you already have. How can you wear things in different ways? Because certainly in the UK, wardrobes are bulging with unworn clothing and yet we still cannot stop shopping. And it's really thinking about how you can, you know, maximize the effectiveness and the use of your existing wardrobe rather than just buying more and more new stuff. But that's quite hard to do because all of the marketing messages is about tempting you to buy more new stuff. You know, even secondhand consignment, resale sites, the email marketing is always about, come on, have a look, more new collections and so on. So it's really hard to kind of break off from that and, you know, relook at what's in your wardrobe and try to make more use of that.
And even if consumers are aware of these costs, do you think it is enough to change consumer behavior when fast fashion is just like fast food, cheap and convenient?
It's gotten worse because it's faster and there's more of it. So there's much more choice now, isn't there? You've got all of the online, super fast, ultra fast fashion retailers, as well as the ones with physical stores. So really, the original ones, Zara, H&M, Forever 21 even, you might say they're kind of like the slower breed of fast fashion retailers because some of the online ones like Shine, Boohoo and so on, they're so much faster, so much more responsive to what's happening in the marketplace. And they have a huge amount of data that they can use from being online and seeing what people are buying, what they're searching for, what's going into people's baskets and so on, that it would be harder to get that information through a physical store. So they have that advantage, really, making small runs and, you know, testing lots of new designs. You know, citizens, society and consumers, they're increasingly holding brands and, you know, the leaders of these brands to account, really. And nobody wants, you know, a landfill in their backyard, do they? So, and equally, it's not right to have these landfills in other countries that don't always have a lot of choice about, you know, what is sent there. So I think it's increasingly distasteful and people are, you know, asking for better behaviour from these brands. And also legislation is firming up in many countries. But I think really we can't rely on voluntary action from corporations, but it needs to be legislated. But things are getting stricter. So I do have hope. And I think, you know, consumers, you know, material goods do not bring eternal joy and happiness. We know that, don't we? But we still buy into it. But it's really about experiences, you know, relationships with friends, with family, experiences and, you know, nature. Got into nature over lockdown. So it's not really about buying loads and loads of more new stuff. It doesn't really make you happy, does it? I think when you can wean yourself off of that, you can actually save a lot of money that you might have been wasting by, you know, shopping every week or every month and buying stuff that you don't really need and you don't get a lot of use out of. And, you know, channeling that money into other activities.
Thank you so much, Patsy, for joining us today. The fashion industry has been stagnant for quite some time, but fast fashion has employed 300 million people globally and has grown to a $1.3 trillion industry. The fashion industry is complex, and there's no central figure to blame for the perceived injustice. In fact, much of it is actually consumer-driven, as customers are the ones willing to pay 76% of full price. So to deliver on what the consumer wants, fashion brands need to find ever more creative ways to cut costs, reduce wages, and set harsh terms for production, which leads to rampant labor abuses at the garment factories. Suppliers are also squeezed so hard financially that they are incentivized to cut costs in any way possible. However, change is coming to the fashion industry as a handful of brands are shining the spotlight on a more sustainable model. These brands, like Patagonia, market durable clothing and accessories made with sustainable materials. Patagonia markets its brand to make consumers aware of the downsides of fast fashion and instead encourages customers to purchase less and only when needed. Other brands are working towards a circular system of production and consumption by taking customers' clothes back and putting them to new use or making them out of 100% recyclable materials. I'm Christy Ai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you back here next time on The Cost of Everything.